Good morning, everybody. I guess like me, y'all are hurting this morning. And Kevin, honestly, when you called, I was so in shock. I couldn't even grasp. Well, it seems like sometimes we pray for things and pray for them for months straight, every day, and it just don't turn out like what we expect. And Nathaniel, it's real easy for us to step back and wonder, Lord, what are you doing? And why? And as I was reflecting on this and I was just reminded that, how fragile life really is. I mean, it don't matter if you're 4 months or if you're 400. It's a short time. And I'd like to encourage some hearts this morning. But it's hard to do. Sometimes having the right words is just not easy. And I thought about five things that I'll share with you. I don't know if we'll get into Sunday school or not. But it's five things of what not to do when death comes. And I don't have this wrote down or nothing, so y'all just bear with me. But the first thing I was reminded of was in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, where the Bible says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." Very familiar. It says, "That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." And I'm just going to stop the reading part right there. Hopefully you know the rest of that passage. But I want to say first that we don't have to sorrow as others sorrow. And I just want y'all to be reminded of that even though it's hard right now, we don't have to sorrow as others sorrow. Why is that? Because there's a world full of people without hope, and they have nothing to look forward to. But we have a God in heaven that we know that loves us, and a Savior that made the way that death would be destroyed one day. And we'll get into that in Sunday school if the Lord allows. But so I just encourage you, if I could, just to don't sorrow as others sorrow. Read the rest of the passage. And we don't sorrow, but then 1 Corinthians 15, in the last verse. Well, I'll not turn there. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Nathaniel, you quote that all the time. And if you know what 1 Corinthians 15 is all about, it's all about the resurrection and the future, and it's about death. And so we're not to sorrow even as others sorrow. But then he's real clear at the very end of that, Kevin. He says, don't stop. Don't stop. Boy, it'd be real easy in these times. And it's not my family this time. But it's my family of the Lord. It'd be real easy to just say, man, I just want to give up. But just don't stop. And then I thought about over in John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, you find the story of Lazarus. And I noticed, as I thought, Joe, I noticed Mary and Martha's reaction to Lazarus' death. And both of them said the same thing to the Lord Jesus. They said, Lord, if you'd have been here, if you'd have been here, my brother had not died. And so thirdly, I just want to say, don't suppose. What they were doing was supposing that their way, their thoughts about the situation was better than his thoughts. And so as we ponder these times, don't suppose that the way you feel about the situation is better than God's way. So don't suppose. And then I thought about Job. You know, Job lost everything he had, basically. Lost his children, lost his possessions, lost his health. But I thought over there in Job chapter 1 or 2, there it said, in all these things, Job sinned not, neither charged God foolishly. And so, fourthly, we don't sin in these times. And what I'm talking about specifically is we don't point our finger at God and blame God. Folks, just a reminder, death is not a result of God. Sure. Bible still says that death came by sin. And so every one of us, if we get what we deserve, we don't deserve one breath. This is the only way I know to keep things in perspective, folks, during these times. But then the last thing that I thought of that I just want to tell you this morning before we move on is, do you remember over there when David sinned with Bathsheba? And they had a child. And if you remember the story, that child didn't make it. And before that child was dead, what was David doing? He was praying. He was fasting. He was calling out to God. But Brother Jerry, right after that, as soon as he perceived, Brother Matthew, that them fellas had news that that child had died, he got up, cleaned up. They couldn't understand his reaction to the situation. And what was David's response? He said, can I bring that child back? Last thing I want to tell you is don't lose sight. He said, I can't bring him back, but I can go to him. And so just a few things what not to do in time of death. It's coming to all of us. And man, it's hit hard right here in this church. Just recently. But it'll be in every home. And if we live long enough, we'll see lots of it. Because Hebrews 9:27 tells us, it's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. And Brother Kevin, it's important for sinners to be ready for that time. But it's important for saints to be ready for that time as well. You can have a great testimony to people in times of death and uncertainty in your life that you might not be able to have at other times. And so just, there's some things there just to remember, don't do in times of death. And I just want to encourage y'all to keep these families in your prayers. Because it's easy to stand up here and read these scriptures, Brother Donnie. And I've talked to Kevin, and there's times, Brother Kevin, you don't even have the words to tell. I mean, these situations. So all we can do is try our best to prepare ourselves for it when we know it's coming. And just remember that this life's not what it's all about. There's another life to come. The main thing is to be ready for that one. And so I just wanted to share that. That's just something that the Lord, as I was just thinking through, Lord, how do we handle these situations? Because it does hurt. But we'll go ahead and move on. We're still in Psalm 23, and we made it down to verse number 5. I hope y'all just give me some grace this morning. I'm really struck. But in verse number 5, David says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." And obviously, if you know much about the enemies that we have, one of them is death. So, the last time we talked about the preparation that the Lord makes for us, and I'm thankful for that. But he goes on to say he prepares something for us, and that is a table.
Yes.
And I got to looking and trying to think of what does that table represent. I don't know about you, but when I'm in the presence of my enemies, Gavin, I'm not usually much thinking about eating. You know, we think about fighting, Brother Jesse. But that table doesn't always necessarily mean food, physical food. But when you look up the word table and you start looking down through there through the definitions and what all that table can mean and represent to you, what you find is that table is representative of his provision. And so I'm thankful for the provision that he's made for you and I. And it's for whatever that present need is at the time, and how often that we don't even know what need or what fight we're going to have, but God has prepared a way and he's made the provisions for you and I to be able to get through these situations. And, you know, the first thing as I think of the provision that God makes that seems to always come to mind is Genesis 22. And we'll just read just a little part of that. It seems like we've been there a lot lately with just different things here at the church. But in Genesis 22, in verse number 6, I'll just read down through verse 13. And hopefully, if you don't know the story, what's happened here is that God has called out to Abraham and told Abraham to kill his only son, Isaac, his only begotten son. And of his wife Sarah. And this was we understand that this son was a son of promise. Abraham and Sarah were not able to have children up to this point, and God had made him a promise. And he told Abraham that he was going to do things and he was going to make of him a great nation. But yet then right after all of those promises, and you find those in the preceding chapters, I think, I don't know, maybe back to about chapter 12 or 15, something right there. It starts and you just start seeing it time after time, and the promise gets better and better and better. And finally we have this son, Isaac, that's born. And you think, well, this is how God's going to bring about this great promise. But then, Brother Kim, you get to chapter 22, and all of a sudden, God says, you know that promise that I made to you? He said, I want you to kill it. And, you know, we fail to realize what that implied in Abraham's life. But Abraham had been looking for this promise for all this time. And then all of a sudden he comes down to this point and says, Lord, the very thing that you promised you're going to take from me. Now you put that in perspective.
Right.
That's hard to understand. But as we come to verse 6, it says, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Isaac recognized, man, there's something wrong with this picture. And he goes on in verse 8, and I want to say Abraham knew the answer. He knew what was wrong with the situation too. But Abraham's response is just, it convicts my heart every time I read. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So he trusted in God's provision. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. So, if there's ever been a time and a picture of provision, we see it right here. And Abraham got to experience this in such a way like probably many of us never see physically. But what we find in Abraham's life is that when the call came to him, he was obedient. And, you know, as I thought on him, a lot of times what I've recognized in the lives of people, and I'm talking about myself, is that, Brother Kevin, I expect God's provision before I give my obedience. And it didn't work like that in the life of Abraham. What did he have to do? He had to obey God. And if he would have not obeyed God in the worst possible thing that he could have been asked to do, he would have never got to experience the provision that God was wanting to make for him. And I don't know what God's asking you to do. A lot of times I don't know what God's asking me to do. But if we're looking for God to provide, there's enough that we know that we need to be obedient to do. That we ought to just do that. And then what we can know is that if we'll be obedient to what we know to do, God will provide. He's always faithful. And I'm thankful for that. And you say, well, how in the world? You know, in my mind, the question comes up, I've got two kids of my own. How in the world can somebody be this obedient? I mean, is that a valid question? I mean, this is the way that my mind works. I look at Abraham and I think, Brother Donnie, I love my kids. And Lord, I don't know that I can do this. But then we can read over in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11. Down in verse 17. We find it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And I want you to notice that. The words that we find in Hebrews 11 says that Abraham offered up Isaac. Now what we know is that physically, Isaac, Brother Kevin, was not slain. A ram took his place. But if you remember, God does not look on the outward. God saw that in the heart of Abraham, that child was as slain as he was going to be, or could be. I mean, in the mind of Abraham, Isaac's life was going to be gone that day, Brother Jesse. He was not hesitant about doing what God had told him to do. And we find that as we continue reading, it says, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So what I know, I still don't fathom. And I guess that's why we would consider Abraham the father of faith. I still don't understand how he had that much faith. I mean, I just really don't. But what I know is from a glimpse in Scripture, I understood that he had so much faith that he knew if as long as he was obedient in doing what God had done, he had been promised that God was going to raise up a seed through his son Isaac. And he knew that even if he killed him, he said, even if I kill him, God's so true to his word that it will not fail. And whatever it takes, he's going to bring it to pass. Like I said, I don't understand all that. I just know that I'm sure glad it's in my Bible. And Abraham, he just fully trusted God's provision. And what we all know is that is a foreshadowing of God's provision of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lamb of God, is, as Kevin preached, that taketh away the sin of the world the other night. That's all it's about. The whole book's about him. And The greatest, you know, table ever spread, obviously the greatest provision ever made was the Lord Jesus Christ, the very bread of life, who was broken for mankind. John 6:51 says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." If there's ever been provision made, there's been no provision like that. God provided himself a lamb later on. That lamb was the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to ask you this morning this question. You know, oftentimes we think, I don't know, I guess the truth is we just discount God. And we just think, God can't do this. God can't do this. God can't make that happen. God can't fix that situation. And you know, every time we think those things, well, all we're doing is discounting his ability. And so the question is, can we trust God's provision? Can we trust his provision? Is his provision always right? Is it always on time? Is it always what we need? Brother Adam, it's not always what we want. You ever provide things for your children that they don't want, but you know they need? God's our Father. And I thought about this verse over in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. It says, you know, a lot of times we look through Romans 8, and there's certain verses and certain portions, right, that we pull out, and they're beautiful, and they're encouraging, and this is not one of those verses that we look at a lot of times, but it's a verse that says so much. Romans 8:32, you know, we look at Romans 8:31, Brother Joe, and we say, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Man, that's a wonderful verse. But when we come to verse 32, it says that he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Listen to this last phrase. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Just sit back and think what Paul is saying when he puts Christ in perspective and he recognizes the provision that God made through the Lord Jesus. What is he telling us? What he's saying is that, I believe what he's saying, Brother Jesse, is that if God loved us enough that he didn't spare the very best that he had, his own son. If he loved us that much, what in the world would ever make us think that any other need that we ever have, that he's not willing to supply it? I believe that's what he's saying. No matter what situation we're in, he will provide us what we need. I believe that's a promise from Scripture. And I live way below that verse. And I'll be the first to say that. It is so often I look at situations, my life, other people's lives, you do too, and you think, this is beyond hope. This cannot be fixed. God, I don't think there's anything you can do to help this situation. All I know is I'd be better off if I just believed God. And so what I know from Scripture as we think about this table, and we're not going to get through this today, obviously, but what we learn, if we were to turn over to Matthew chapter 6 and read verses 25 through 34, what we'd find is the Lord's promised He provides our physical needs. He said, don't take thought, brother Nathaniel, about what you're going to eat. You don't have to think about what you're going to wear. Don't think about what you're going to do tomorrow. He said, you don't even have to worry about that stuff. He says, I've got it taken care of. Right? He'll provide our physical needs. Mark 2:17. We find that He provides our spiritual needs. He said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We learn in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Folks, He's provided for our physical needs. He provided for our spiritual needs. And then we find in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So I guess if I can say anything today about the provision of God is that the truth is you and I have no need to worry about anything. That's just in as simple terms as I can put it. Brother Jerry, I mean, we worry. I get myself just twisted up sometimes about things. And I try not to let it show because I'm tough, you know. But my wife will tell you I don't show a whole lot of emotion in general. But the truth is, there's a lot of times, Brother Steve, I'm twisted up on the inside. And I don't want to let it out. But I do it. Really, Jesse, for no reason. I literally have nothing to worry about. I mean, Kevin, you said the other night, Job said, though God slay me, yet will I trust Him. I mean, what better is there than that? I mean, if I don't drop my next breath.
That's right.
I mean, what does, at the end of the day, if you and I don't get out of this building, if we're born again, does it matter? I mean, really, folks, we're so, I don't want to be negative, but I feel like so often we're so carnally minded that we forget the big picture. And I mean, the reality is, if I have 1 minute left, if I have 100 years left, really there's no difference in how it compares to eternity. I mean, folks, all we've got is eternity to spend with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so we don't have anything to worry about if we're born again. He'll supply everything we need. Now the Bible still does say, seek ye first the kingdom and His God and His righteousness. Right? And all these things, talking about those physical things, those needs that we have, they'll be added to us. But as far as if we will keep our perspective where it needs to be, we ought to be the happiest people to walk the earth. I mean, Brother Adam, when you really start thinking about it, and no matter what the circumstance, there's no reason we shouldn't be able to walk around with a smile on our face. I understand we hurt, but man, this light affliction that we suffer, man, it's just but for a moment. And I guess the Lord's just provided so much for us that we've just got used to it. And we don't understand what all He's really done for us. But I thank him for his provision. And where would we be without him? But where are we at on time? It's got to be close to time. Well, we'll stop right there. That's a good place to just quit. I'm so sorry for being so scattered. I mean, folks, it just let the wind out of my sails yesterday, I'll be honest. And I just tried to stay busy all day, just to be honest with you. Tried to keep my mind off it, because every time I stopped, boy, I just hurt. But the Lord's going to take care of all this. And he's going to help us, and he's going to help Sharon, and he's going to help Tyler, and he's going to help Chloe. We may not see it right now. Joanna, he's going to continue to help you. We're going to see at some point. We'll see the glory of God through all this. It may not be while we live here. That's just the truth of it. But somehow, we'll see what God's done through all these situations that we don't understand. Boy, I look forward to that day, don't you? But I sure appreciate everybody's good attention, and let's pray for our pastor. Pray for you, Pastor. We'll have prayer for anybody that wants to pray. Appreciate everybody.